In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes our words can be confusing. Sometimes they are clear and encouraging. Sometimes they're understood, and sometimes they're misunderstood. Our words are powerful things, easily able to divide and unite. These days, if you are a certain generation, sick means outstandingly good, and if something is bad, it's probably really good. When we come to use words, it can be a minefield. Our vocabularies and use of language vary, so it can be difficult for people to hear things in their own language. Take this time of the year, we're at the Feast of Pentecost, from the Greek Pentecoste, meaning 50th day. That's the 50th day from Easter, including Easter Day. In this country, it was often called Whitsun or White Sunday. Some think that was derived from the word wit, as in beyond the wit of man. In Germany, if we were to translate that literally, rather than being Weissesonntag, it's called Pfingstsonntag, as White Sunday, Whit Sunday, is the Sunday after Easter. Being White Sunday, of course, the liturgical colour is red, as we celebrate the coming of the Spirit and the birth of the Church. That is, unless you're from Orthodox Christianity, whereby the Spirit was in the Church before the Church existed, so it isn't the Church's birthday. In fact, Jesus has already breathed his Spirit into the disciples, so Pentecost is ongoing. Now all we need to do is to go out and share this knowledge with those we meet, using exactly the language that they will understand. To be honest with this sort of background, when the disciples were first filled with the Spirit, it's no wonder people thought they were drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. But the coming of an eclectic spirit into our lives should be the same. It's not something that can be contained. If it takes many different ways to describe what the Spirit's like, what the Spirit's doing, if they appear to be contradictory, well, then that's just right. We can't and shouldn't expect to contain the Spirit of the Almighty in simple words. The Spirit inspires and motivates, loves and cajoles in ways that each of us personally respond to. Or at least that's how it should be. As we know, we're all different. We like different things, have different interests, and can do different things. So it's no wonder that God sent the Spirit. We're not a business, so there isn't a single set of processes that can make us church. There's no simple just do this and everything will be sorted approach. Each of us are blessed with many and varied gifts. Or as it says in the passage, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Just as we're different, we need to speak the right language to the people God gives us the opportunity to talk to. It's what all Christians are called to do, and maybe start with something as simple as, I'll pray for you, or how about you come with me to a service? It is an immense privilege to share something of how our faith shapes us. But we do need to be clear and definitely avoid any complex theology. And by that I mean, try explaining faith to a young child and you'll get the idea. The trouble is, our church language is hard. Try some of these. Is it communion? Is it the Eucharist? Is it Mass? Or is it the Lord's Supper? Are we breaking bread? Or are we gathering around the table? Or is the table an altar? It reminds me of having teams across Europe and trying to explain that a person wasn't literally beating around a bush, and that if someone wanted to get something off their chest, they hadn't got an infection. The French for getting something off their chest, by the way, is vide son sac, literally empty his bag. Then again, in Welsh, we have things like roi a fiddle in a toe, literally meaning put the fiddle in the roof, which means to give up. I have no idea why that should be. It's just as well we have the spirit to inspire and direct. God knows that language stacks things against us. As our passage says, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" It's probably a question we should continue to ask. We shouldn't over-theologise. We should allow the Spirit Jesus sent to be evident in our lives, in the way we are, the things we do, and how the light shines out of us. Because without the Spirit working in our lives, the kingdom values of love, justice, compassion and freedom just make us a group of nice people. And nice sounds somewhat pejorative. We all want the church to flourish, but we need to move away from the liturgical equivalents of trying to explain English to non-native speakers and just use plain language. Because let's face it, English is a crazy language. There is no egg in eggplant, nor ham in hamburger. Neither is there an apple or a pine in pineapple. So to explain God simply, just say, God is love. It's a concept all can identify. Jesus said it like this, so it's a great starting point. Think of it this way. If we're not certain what a re-emergent post-pandemic church flourishing would look like, on the disparate and confused but joyful disciples was built the church that we are all now part of. Expectantly letting the Spirit work was the catalyst to answering the prophet Joel, who said in these marvellous words, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." Now, is that something we can own today as we build God's church wherever we happen to be? Amen.
Together, Lord, bind us together with cords.